And Abraham died and gave up the ghost. Now, I want to start with chapter 24, verse 67. Make a couple of points. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's, tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. It was interesting to me as I studied this and looked at this, that Abraham was very picky, extremely picky on who his son married. He set the parameters early. He set the parameters before there was anybody that could be suspect to be a spouse. He set the parameters early. Could not be a Canaanite, must be a Mesopotamiaite, same kindred, and got to be somebody that will come to us. We're not going back. Right? Those were the parameters. And he was very, very picky about who this person was. Isaac submitted to this pickiness. Isaac submitted to the principles that Abraham had worked into him and submitted to these things. The servant went, got Rebekah, brought her back, and after that you hear nothing about Abraham involved in their marriage. You hear nothing about it. Now, it doesn't say whether he approved or disapproved of Rebekah. It just doesn't say anything. Now, by that silence, I can interpret that as meaning that Abraham did approve of Rebekah. But my point here is that he butted out. Now, here, parents, and I am one, what we want to do is we want to set the parameters. We want to tell them who they can marry and who they can't marry. And then we want to control the marriage. That's wrong. If you have raised them right and if you've worked the parameters into them, when they get married, they'll invite you in and you won't have to force your way in. And you see them making mistakes. And you want to fix it for them. They can't do that. You've got to let them make their mistakes, let them have their love, and let them learn. If you've raised them right, they won't make very many, and they'll start inviting you in. Hey, Dad, what do you think about this? Hey, Mom, what do you think about this? And all of a sudden, they invite you in, rather than you having to force your way in and try to control. Godly parents aren't controlling parents. Godly parents train them up in the way they should go. And then when they're old, they just do it themselves. They invite you in. And the second thing I see here is that it says that Isaac was comforted by Rebekah. Now, again, and I don't know, I just want to hit this really fast. I have a Thompson Chain reference Bible. And at the beginning of each chapter, it gives me a date. And when Sarah died at chapter 23, it gives me the date of 1860 B.C. Question mark about. About 1860 B.C. All right, then as chapter 24 begins, which is when Abraham sent the servant to the land of Mesopotamia, which was a long journey, which took a lot of time. He sent him there to bring back Rebekah. At the time here, it was 1857 B.C. Now, that's 3 years. Now, Isaac is still grieving. Isaac still needs to hear about Mama. Isaac's having a tough time with Mother dying. And I believe this is one reason that Abraham decided, hey, we can't find one, let's go get him one. The guy needs a woman in his life to help him. He's having a hard time here. All right, then at the beginning of chapter 25, the date that the Thompson Chain Bible says is 1853. That's 7 years. 7 years Isaac has been in this mourning state. And all of a sudden, Rebekah shows up into his life. Now see this. And what does the Bible say here? And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's, tent. Now, what was in there? All his mama's stuff. Over there was that old picture of Abraham and Isaac when he was a little baby. Over there was the china. Just like Sarah left it and he took her in there. He was hurting. But what did Rebekah do? Comforted him. Here's my point. The point is, when we go through times of mourning or any tough time, you know who the best person in the world to comfort you? Your spouse. But you know what we do lots of times? We shut our spouses out. Sometimes we even blame them for the problem we're having. And there's nobody that can comfort me like her. She knows how to help me, where I hurt. And we need to understand this, people. In the kingdom of God, when we're hurting, the person we really need to talk to is our spouse. And Rebekah comforted him. Is that good? Chapter 25. I want to read verses 1 and 2. Then again, Abraham took a wife. And her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran and Cokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shuha. Now, first thing I want to say to us is that this is not a really preached passage. In fact, I would venture to say that you've probably never heard a message about Abraham getting married again. Now, the reason is because we don't want to think of old Father Abraham in this light. We don't want to think of a 140-year-old man, at least, marrying a woman who is probably young enough to be his granddaughter, more probably young enough to be his great-granddaughter. We want to think of old Abraham as this old bald-headed guy sitting out there under the tamarisk tree, worshiping God, leaning on his cane with his old beard, right? This is how we want to think of him. This was not the kingdom man. This is not how he lived. He was viral. The years of life had been restored unto him. You see, here's the point that I really want to make in this, is that old people have needs too. I'll be 50 years old this year. And I'm rapidly approaching the time that I'm already at the time I used to call old. Old gets further. But I want you to understand, if Abraham was 140 years old and having this desire and need within him, what about your 60 or 70-year-old mom or dad? Will they have this in them? Yes, but we don't want to think, this doesn't work into our gospel, because we have Father Abraham as this special person who had no needs or no wants or no desires. No, I want you to understand, he had needs and wants and desires and lusts just like you or I. Well, hello? That's the gospel. And Abraham again married. This was his third wife. That don't preach good. Oh, you're not supposed to say that. Was Sarah his wife? Now, she was the wife of his youth. She was the helpmeet. She was the one that helped him fulfill the purposes of God. Right? She helped him trim his garden, Adam and Eve thing. She helped him trim his garden, trim his life, and produce what God had told him to produce, which was Isaac. That was Sarah's purpose. And she did it, and she did it well. She did everything she could to bring him a baby. But Sarah has died. Was Hagar his wife? Yes. But Hagar's gone. And here's Abraham. Now, his years may be many, but his loins are young. And he's experiencing what desires that, I don't know how to say this, but this is what the Bible says. Now, I was reading one of my commentaries, and they say Keturah, she was just a nurse. Well, I want you to know that Keturah did more than break him breakfast and change his bedpan. Keturah gave him 6 sons. Now, I want us to hear this. It's not abnormal for an older person, when they've lost a spouse, to desire to marry again. And it's not, folks, understand, it's not just so they'll have somebody to talk to. They have needs and wants, and they get lonely, probably even more so than we do at our age. And they love people. And they need a fragrance in their life. And do you know what Keturah's name means? Perfume. Perfume. Keturah means perfume. Abraham wanted a fragrance in his life. Now, we have problems here, because especially with our, if our parent was to remarry, we have problems. And the first problem that we have is we think that they're trying to replace our deceased mom or dad. And that's not true. Could anybody replace Sarah? Nobody could replace Sarah. Nobody could. I'm telling you, nobody could. Nobody could fulfill the promises that God had put on Abraham's life but Sarah. Sarah shall conceive and have a child. It was Sarah. Nobody could replace Sarah. Then what was Keturah's purpose here in the life of Abraham in the Bible? Why does God put this in here if He doesn't want us to have some understanding? Abraham's old. He's well stricken with years. And he's lonely. Sarah's dead. Isaac's married. Hagar's gone. He found Keturah. And it is not wrong. Now, the problems that we have, number one, is we think they were trying to replace mom or dad. Number two problems we have is our inheritance. We want our inheritance. Now, we don't want any gold digger coming along and taking our inheritance. Now, will that happen? Does that happen? Yes, it does, and yes, it could. And Father, this is the thing I want us to say. Father Abraham is so cool. He takes care of Isaac. He takes care of Isaac. Look with me. Verses 5 and 6. I'm not even going to try to do 3 and 4. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Let's read on. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east. Now, here's what... Did Abraham wait until he was dead for the will to be read? When did Abraham do this? While he yet lived. While he yet lived, he made sure that his son got their inheritance, got his inheritance. I want you to understand this. We have the idea, we write a will, and after we're gone, they'll take care of it. No, you need to take care of it while you yet live. Make sure your kids get what you want them to have. Let them enjoy it and be able to watch them enjoy it. Listen, Abraham's going to live 25 more years after this. He's going to see Jacob born. He's going to see Esau born. He's going to get to hold them. He's going to get to watch Isaac enjoy the wealth that he's accumulated. Don't wait until you're dead to enjoy your children, enjoy the wealth that you have accumulated for them. And we're afraid they'll squander it. And they probably will. But we'll get to watch them. Is that good? While he yet lived. Now, did he take care of Isaac? What did Isaac get? Everybody say, Isaac got all. Isaac got all. What did the other guys get? Gifts. Gifts. Now, everybody got something, but Isaac got it all. Okay, now, we'll do a little eschatology teaching. You see, there is a false doctrine in the earth. And you got to help me preach this to this region. There's a false doctrine in the earth that says that we're really not Isaac's seed. That the natural Jew is Isaac's seed. And that we're really just stepchildren. We're going to get the gifts. See, the natural Jew is going to get it all. I'm telling you, that's a lie from hell. Put the center camera on me. That's a lie from hell, and I challenge you to show me I'm wrong. I want you to know that's a lie. And I'm going to show you scriptures right now to show you. That is a heretic lie because it robs you of all. And it tells you you're just going to get a little gift if you're good. And then you'll be sent away because his real people are the Jews. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what my Bible says. Are you ready? Let's go. I want you to look at me in the book of Galatians real fast. Book of Galatians chapter 4. I want you to see where this is at, and you'll have to take time and study it and read it, but I want to read one verse from you. I want you to first of all understand that God said that it would be through Isaac that his seed would be called, right? Through Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, Abraham's seed would have to come through Isaac. Now, how many sons did Abraham have? No, eight. Eight. But it would be through Isaac. Am I right? It must come through Isaac. Not Ishmael, not all these other six guys, but it come through Isaac. Now, if I show you that you're through Isaac, then you get it all. You don't get a gift. You don't get a handout. You're not a stepchild. You are Isaac. We get it all. And it's through Isaac that thy seed shall be called. I need the Genesis scripture, Genesis 21, I think. Do I have it? I want to read that first. Genesis 21:12. And God said unto Abraham, now please get the context of what this is talking about. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad. Now who's the lad he's talking about here? Does anybody have an idea? Ishmael. He's talking about Ishmael. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. Who's the bondwoman? Hagar. Talking about Ishmael and Hagar. Let it not be said in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, it's not going to be called through Ishmael. It's going to be called through Isaac. Do you see this? It's not going to be called through these other six boys. It's going to be called through Isaac. Now, Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul here is giving an allegory, and it begins in verse 24 of Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 24 begins the allegory. Now, dispensationalists have problems with allegories. Because what you're doing is you're spiritualizing. You're taking this and making it mean that. And this is what Paul did. But the dispensationalists have tremendous problems here, but yet Paul preached this way. And he says here, this is an allegory, verse 24. Which things are an allegory of these two? For these two are the covenants. The one for the Mount Sinai, and that which gendereth bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai of Arabia. So what he does is he draws two parallels. First one he draws is Hagar and Ishmael and the old covenant and Jerusalem that now is, he calls it, but it's really the one that which was. The now is one was destroyed in AD 70. It was cast out with the bondwoman. I'll show you that in just a second. That's the first parallel. Second parallel is Sarah, Isaac, the Jerusalem that is above, the mother of us all. Now, let me say, is the Galatian church a Gentile or a Jewish church? It's a Jewish church. It's a Gentile church. And what he's trying to say here is that what's happened here, Gentiles, is that you're coming in, and what's happened is the Jews have been cast out. Now, verse 30. And you can study this and see if I've told you the truth. Verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Now, who's the bondwoman? Hagar, which is the Jews. The Jerusalem that then was. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir. But shall not be what? Heir. What will Ishmael get? A gift. But there won't be the heir. Shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You see this? Now, I know you know this, but I just really want you to understand and be able to preach this. I want you to know that you're not getting the gift. You've got it all. Now, let's look at some more stuff. Galatians 4:30. Nevertheless, go to Galatians 3:29. And if you be Christ, now again, what church is he writing to? Galatians is written to the church of Galatia, which is a Gentile church. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Is a natural Jew Abraham's seed? No. Who is a natural Abraham's seed? The church is. You are, because you're in Christ. And when you get in Christ, you're baptized into Jesus Christ. And you're in Christ, which is his church. You're in Christ. He's the head. We're the body. We're in him. We are the Christ. We're the anointed in the earth. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Who is the heir? Who gets the gift? Tell me. Who gets the gift? The Jews get the gift at best. Who gets all of it? We get it all. And if you listen to that garbage, you'll be robbed of it all. And you'll be hanging on it. Some stupid rope with a knot on the end of it, waiting for Jesus to come and rapture you out of your mess. That ain't what the Bible preaches. What the Bible says is, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sit with him in his throne. Hallelujah! I get it all. I don't want no gift. I get my own gift. I want it all. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Oh, were the Romans Gentiles or Jews? And if heirs of God, then you're joint heirs with the Jews. You'll get half. You'll be have to equal what you get with the natural Jew. No, you get what Jesus got. How much did Jesus get? He got it all because He was the seed. Capital S. He was the seed, and He got it all. And if I'm a joint heir with Him, then what do I get? I get it all, because I'm a joint heir with Christ. That's a lie from hell that you don't get it all. It's a lie from hell that you're a stepchild in the kingdom. It's a lie from hell that the Jew's better than you. I want you to see in just a second, you're heirs of the kingdom. Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What are you? An heir. Through Christ. A joint heir. Next one. Titus 3:7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Are you justified? Do you have the grace of God? Are you saved by grace? If you're justified by that grace, then you're an heir. You don't get a gift. What do you get? How much of it's yours, Michelle? All of it. You settle for less, you're settling for less. You can have it all. We can have it all. What is there in the kingdom I can't have? Well, what did Jesus come to give us? Life and that. How much of it's yours? Is that abundant or what? James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God. Listen, what James said. Hear me. I'm hollering there. I want you to hear this. Hearken to me. There's a wrong word out there. I want you to hearken to me. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him? Do you love God? Then you're an heir. Heir of what? Heir of the kingdom. Kingdom's yours. When you die. When's the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? Jews came to Jesus one day. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. They demanded of Him, when would the kingdom come? He says, you don't understand the kingdom. He says, does it come with observation? The kingdom of God is within you. It's righteousness and it's peace and joy, Romans 10:17. Is that right? 11. No. I've got to get it in a second. It doesn't matter. Let's get on. Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You got to know you are Abraham. You're of faith. If you're of faith, then you are of Isaac and you are of Abraham. How much did Isaac get? He got it all. You want a gift or you want it all? I want it all. Give me the next one. Galatians 3:28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, in Paul's day, they had slaves. They called them bond and free. Was it easier for a free person to get baptized and become a member of the church than it was the bond person? I ask it again. I haven't heard the answer I want yet. In Paul's day, there was bond and free. There was slaves and masters. Was it easier for a master to come into the kingdom of God, to be water baptized, to be a member of the church than it was for the slave? No. Why? Because there was neither bond nor free. Am I right? Now, what about a male and a female? What about a man and a woman? It must be easier for a man to come into the kingdom of God than it is a woman because a man is superior, right? I am teasing. I don't believe that. I don't think that. I'm just trying to make the point. Was it easier for a man to come into the kingdom than it was a woman?
No.
Because a woman can't be circumcised.
No.
Because, well, why then? Because a circumcision isn't natural. It's a spiritual thing. It's a circumcision of the heart. Was it easier then for a man to come into the kingdom than it was a woman?
No.
No. God forbid. Is it easier for an American to come into the kingdom of God than it is for a person from India?
No.
Why? See, there's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. But you got to understand, too, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. The Jews are not superior to the Gentiles. Not in this kingdom. Not in this kingdom. Besides, you tell them, I get it all. Okay. Let's finish. You don't get a gift, you get it all. Hallelujah! The boys get a gift. Isaac gets it all. Hallelujah! Let me wind this thing up. Verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. You know, I saw the movie Braveheart, Mel Gibson, years ago. And Mel Gibson had a line in that movie that stuck with me, and it still sticks. It'll stick with me forever. It's at the end of the movie, and he's in prison. He knows he's about to die. They're about to take him out and put him on the stretching board and then behead him. And he's praying to the Lord, and he says, Lord, help me to die well. Help me to die well. You see, we as believers, we should live well. I really believe that we should live to old age. I really believe that. I believe that as kingdom people, if we're living our lives as we should live it and walking with the Lord as we should walk it, that we should live to an old age. And our age should be full of years. Now, hear how this is said. It's full of years. Not a lot of years, but his years were full. And Jesus says, I come to give you life, and I come to give you life more abundantly. In other words, my years should be abundant years. My years should be full years. They should be full of God. It should be full of my family. It should be full of you. It should be full of everything that I love. It should be full of all the blessings of God. My life should be full of years. Not just many years. Full of years. With me? He lived old, a life full of years. And then it says, and God gathered him to his people. Isn't that interesting? Gathered him to his people. Now, does that mean he's going to be put in Machpelah with Sarah? Well, that's where he's going to be put, but is that what this means? No, he's going to be gathered to his people. Do you know when we determine the people we'll be gathered to? It's not when we die. It's when we're alive. He will be gathered to the people of God. We determine in our walk, in our life, who we will be gathered to. Jesus said it this way. He says, there's an hour coming. There'll be a resurrection unto for the living and a resurrection unto death. There's going to be a resurrection of the righteous and a resurrection of the wicked. And he says, you're going to be gathered. I'm going to send my angels out. They're going to gather together all things. And what you got to understand is that there will be gathered. Now, Abraham didn't, he's not still laying. Now, his dust is in Machpelah. But Abraham's just not laying there. Abraham is accumulated in the cloud of the righteous. We are surrounded about with Abrahams and Isaacs and Jacobs. We are surrounded about with Noahs and Shems. We're surrounded about with the cloud of the righteous. Your mama, your dad, your aunt, your uncle. They were gathered together. You see, the righteous live, right? The righteous don't die. They just pass to another dimension of life. But what happens to the wicked? They're just dead. They're in the ground and they're not doing nothing. We've got to understand it is in the heavenlies. As a saint dies, God says, I rejoice. Why? Because I get another arm. I get another strength. I get another person to help wage this war. He was gathered together. And then he was put in Machpelah. Verse 10. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. Was Keturah there? Was Keturah in Machpelah? Was Hagar in Machpelah? Who was in Machpelah? Sarah. The person that helped fulfill the promise, that brought forth the seed. Sarah is irreplaceable. there Abraham was laid. Machpelah with Sarah. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? See, who we end up with is who helped us fulfill the promise. Isn't that wonderful? Who helped us fulfill the promise? This wonderful spouse Abraham had for over 100 years. Sarah. Amen. Abraham died and gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. Let me say this and I'm done. Jesus was on the cross. Did he give up the ghost? Yes, he did. Father, commend I my spirit. Dying well is coming to the place where we've lived our life in abundance, lived our life to the full. We come to the place where we now know it's the time of our departure is at hand. We know it's time to go. And we give up the ghost. It's not having to be taken from us. I believe in struggling for every breath as long as I believe I'm supposed to be alive. But I believe in the believer. The believer knows when they should go. And they give up the ghost. Abraham died, gave up the ghost. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord God, that Lord, we can, with our children, make parameters while they're young and then butt out when they're old.